and Answers begins right now.
Worldviews are the foundation of all religions and ideologies today. A person's worldview determines how they understand and perceive the world and their experiences. We are confronted each day with a supermarket of worldviews, all of them claiming to be true. What are the various worldviews, and how do we know which one is true? You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukeran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. At the 2024 Evidence and Answers Conference, Pat explains the major worldviews and shares how to discern which one is true. Today, we will begin with part one of message two in our 2024 Evidence and Answers Apologetics Conference series.
Us, I know you're all busy and you got a lot of things to do. So thank you for taking time out of your schedule to spend it with us. I know we cover a lot of things. I don't expect you to get it all tonight, but these talks and others will be on our radio show, Evidence and Answers. And I thank many of you who listen to the show. And also our website, evidenceandanswers.org, right? It's a treasure trove of resources there. And we're going to have Amy's podcast, as well as you can see my radio and YouTube interview with her on several of these topics. So that's a great place. You can hear everything she presented at this conference and a whole lot more. Well, we're talking about worldviews. This is foundational to everything we're talking about this weekend, but also in the Christian life. Understanding worldviews. I hadn't heard this term worldviews until I went to graduate school. But understanding worldviews transformed my understanding of my Christian faith and what it means to live as a disciple of Christ in this world today. And throughout our lifetime, we wrestle with the big questions of life, right? I was asking these questions in my high school year. Who am I? Why am I here? Why does the universe exist? How am I supposed to live in this world? Is this world all that there is? Is there anything beyond death? These are the big questions in life that everyone asks and everyone must answer. There's many religions, many ideologies that present competing answers. What are those answers? And how do we know which one is true? We're engaged in a battle each day, we and everyone in our family, everyone around us, a war of ideas that seeks to capture the hearts and minds of every person. Which worldview provides the best and true answers to these questions? If we're going to truly understand our world and live wisely in our brief time here, it's critical we embrace and live according to the right worldview. Now, recent surveys show that anywhere from 40 to 60% of those in America claim to be Christian. Now, if this is the case, then why is our impact so minimal? One of the key factors is found in some recent studies done by Probe Ministries and the Cultural Research Center that revealed some very disturbing statistics. Probe Ministries did an extensive survey and discovered only 19% of born-again Christians even have a biblical worldview. 15% of Christian young adults, those under the age of 40, even have a biblical worldview. In other words, most people in the church think like the culture rather than like Christ. What was even more disturbing is the Cultural Research Center did an extensive survey of pastors and discovered only 37% of pastors even have a biblical worldview. We're bombarded by unbiblical ideologies around us from television, film, music, newspapers, magazines, the academia. And it appears we're being shaped by the culture. Instead of being salt and light, we've been salted and lit. Instead of the church impacting culture, the culture has had more of an impact on the church. And this is one of the key reasons the church in America has been unable to successfully engage the culture and its ideas. And the results have been absolutely devastating. Numerous surveys show anywhere from 60 to 80% of young people who profess Christ in their teen years abandon their faith after college. Our influence in the church continues as a church continues to diminish in the culture. If you're a believer in Christ, worldviews are vital in understanding your faith in Christ. If we're going to live successfully and engage the ideas of the culture, we must have a clear understanding of the Christian worldview and the various worldviews that stand against it. So we're going to have a brief overview of the Christian worldview, but also the other worldviews that compete against and stand against the Christian worldview. All right. First, let's take a look. What is a worldview? Let's first begin with what's the definition of a worldview? Basically, a worldview is made up of your answers to the big questions of life. All right. Those big five questions form the framework through which you view and understand the world around you. Your worldview is like a pair of glasses through which you see and interpret and understand the world around you. And it's made up of those five questions. Those make the frame of your glasses. Okay. Your worldview is extremely important because it shapes how you think, your life decisions. It affects every area of your life, and it affects every arena of culture. Your worldview, it's like the operating system of a computer. It's the collection of your most important beliefs, okay? And it influences every part of your life, from your values, your morals, your goals, how you understand relationships, your emotions, your finances, your ideology. It also affects every area of the culture, from education, to family, to faith, government, politics, arts, entertainment, news information, media, economics. It affects every arena of culture. Now, basically, your worldview shapes your view of reality. And everyone has a worldview, whether you can explain it or not. And each day we're faced with a supermarket of worldviews, all of them claiming to be true. And worldviews are the foundation of all religions and philosophies and ideologies that are out there. Now, if you meet a total stranger, how do you know his worldview and where he's coming from? Or if you're reading a textbook or you're watching a movie, right? How do you know what their worldview is? Well, just ask them the big five questions of life, all right? And your worldview has to do with five areas, basically: origins, human nature, meaning, morality, and destiny. How someone answers these five questions pretty much tells you what their belief system and worldview is. Now, we're going to make it real simple here. There's basically three worldviews that are the foundation of religions and all the ideologies that are out there: theism, naturalism, and pantheism. Okay, real easy to remember. Theism says there's a personal God who made all things. Naturalism says the material universe is all that exists. There is no God, no supernatural, no spiritual realm. The material world is all that exists. And pantheism is the foundation of many of the Eastern religions. Pan means all. Theism means God. God is the universe, and the universe is God. And in pantheism, God is not a he or she. God is it. All right? God is the cosmic energy of the universe. So those are the basic three worldviews. They are the foundations of the religions and the ideologies that are out there. Most of your children's education, if you're sending them to the public schools from kindergarten all the way through college, will be steeped in the naturalist worldview, all right, or the atheist worldview. That's why after 12, 14, 16 years of school, they may be sitting in church, but they think like a naturalist, right? Because the educational system is steeped in naturalist worldview. Now, an important point to remember is this: all three cannot be true at the same time. If one of them is true, then the other two must be false. Secondly, if your foundational worldview, if your foundational premise is false, the conclusions you're going to come to will ultimately be false. All right? Your understanding of human nature, of science, of sexuality will ultimately be false. It's like this. If you take a plane from Los Angeles to Hawaii, all right, and if it's 2 degrees off, it's not so bad when you're about 100, 200 miles off the West Coast. But the farther you keep going, the farther off target you're going to get. So if your worldview is false, the conclusions you ultimately come to will be false. Now, let's do a brief overview of the worldviews. How do they answer the 5 big questions of life? And you got your chart there. We're going to go through these very briefly. When we talk about theism, we're answering those 5 basic arenas, right? Origins, human nature, meaning, morality, destiny, all right? So when it comes to the origins, theism or Christian theism teaches there is a personal God who created all things. Naturalism says there is no God. The universe really is a cosmic anomaly. Somehow, scientists have not been able to explain it yet. But from nothing, the universe exploded into being in what we have now. Now, how that happened, no one really knows. They're trying really hard to find an explanation, but they haven't yet. Or pantheism. Pantheism teaches a concept we call monism. All is one. All is God. Everything in the universe makes up the ultimate, okay, or the one. God is not a he or she in pantheism. God is it. God is the cosmic energy made up of everything in the universe. Here's Carl Sagan, famous astronomer. Said the universe is all that is, ever was, and ever will be. What worldview is that? Naturalism, right. Perfect, good summary of naturalism. The universe is all that is, ever was, and ever will be. Question, how does Carl Sagan know that? Faith, isn't it? Faith. Does it take faith to be a naturalist or an atheist? You bet it does. And our premise is that it takes more faith to be an atheist than a believer in God. When Obi-Wan Kenobi in the movie Star Wars was teaching his young disciple how to master the power of the Force, he began explaining what the Force is to Luke Skywalker. And he said, the Force is what gives the Jedi his power, is an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us, penetrates us, it binds the entire galaxy together, right? That's pantheism. Star Wars is a great movie built on the worldview of pantheism. Great discussion starter. Watch that movie with your kids, or if you're a youth pastor or uncle with your teenage kids, and have a great discussion on the issues brought up in Star Wars, or the ideology that's taught there. Maybe you have seen Avatar. The life force of the planet for the Na'vi is Ewa, all right? And the reason they live in a pristine paradise is because they're one with Ewa, all right? And concentration of Ewa's energy is concentrated at the Tree of Life. And you see them meditating and connecting and becoming one with Ewa. And that picture there is before the battle. Jake, who's a transformed human into the Na'vi, goes to the Tree of Life and prays to Ewa. And his wife says, hey, Ewa doesn't take sides. Ewa just is. All right, that's classic pantheism. Or some of you in the martial arts may be familiar with the Chi Force or Ki Force. Force, the power of the energy, resides in all of us, and it's concentrated right here in the gut area. And the martial artist who masters the energy of the chi force that's right here in their gut can strike with incredible power. Or in the mystical martial arts, right, I can strike you without even touching you. Or in alternative medicines, right, the chi is flowing improperly, and there are meridian points in your body. And whether through acupuncture, puncturing holes, I let out the bad chi, let in the good chi, or through some kind of massage or Reiki, I get energy and we get the chi flowing properly in your body. When it's not flowing properly, right, that's what causes illnesses and disease. So the chi force, that's the pantheist worldview. Human nature, who am I? Well, Christian theism teaches that we are made in the image of God. We are not just a material being. We have an immaterial soul and spirit that communes with God and will exist beyond the death of the physical body. Naturalism says you're pretty much a complex animal, right? You're a product of the evolutionary process. You are a material being only, chemistry encased in flesh. George Gaylord Simpson, one of the great minds and architects of neo-Darwinism, said, man is the result of a purposeless and natural process that did not have him in mind. And there's no eternal mind that created you for a particular purpose. Jacques Monod, a famous French biochemist, said, man must understand he is a mere accident. The pantheists, since all is one, we are essentially divine. When Shirley MacLaine stood on the beach with her arms open and says, I am God, she believes that she discovered her true identity. All right, the forces that flow through the universe that give us its power resides in all of us. And through certain disciplines, we can attain enlightenment and become one with the universe around us. Deepak Chopra, the spiritual guru to the Hollywood movie stars, in his book, The Seven Laws of Spiritual Success, writes, your body is not separate from the universe because at the quantum mechanical levels, there are no well-defined edges. The larger quantum field, the universe, is your extended body. Swami Prabhupada, the leader of the Hare Krishna movement here in the U.S., he said this, a drop of ocean water has all the properties of the ocean itself. And we, although minute particles of the supreme whole, have the same energetic properties as the supreme. So the universe is like the great ocean, and we are all drops in that ocean. Why am I here? What is the meaning of our existence? In Christian theism, it's to fulfill the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and to fulfill the great commission to make disciples of all the nations. God created us with an intended purpose. He has placed within us a divine design to fulfill a mission that he has called us to. And our responsibility as parents, youth leaders, is to help our young men and women discover the great mission that God has for them. In naturalism, ultimately, you come to the conclusion everything ends in extinction. So ultimately, life is ultimately meaningless. There's no intended purpose for us to be here. There's no intended purpose for the universe's existence. It just exploded into being. We happen to be just products of chance, of the evolutionary process. And ultimately, everything ends in death and annihilation. So ultimately, our existence is meaningless. Jean-Paul Sartre, his book, Nausea. I remember reading this in college, and I was really disturbed because here's one of the greatest writers of modern times. And he said this, I existed like a stone, a plant, a microbe. I was just thinking, here we are, all of us, eating and drinking to preserve our precious existence. And there's nothing, absolutely no reason for existing. You know, philosopher John Holt was there on the TED Talks, and brilliant mind, incredibly brilliant mind. He was explaining the modern scientific explanations for the origin of the universe, right? How we got the universe out of nothing. And he briefly, in just a few minutes, went through about five of the most popular scientific explanations that are out there. And he showed why each one of them fails. And in the end, at the end of his talk, he says this, the universe is absurd, but we can still construct a purpose. We can still construct meaning in a meaningless universe. In pantheism, the meaning of our existence is to discover we are not an individual person. We are one with one another and one with the divine. The goal is union with the cosmos. Morality. How do I live? Well, Christian theism teaches that God has established he's a morally good and righteous and just God. He has a moral law, which is grounded and rooted in his nature, and it's instilled within each of us through our divine conscience. Naturalism says there is no God. There is no ultimate standard of right and wrong. Eventually, you come to the conclusion if man is the measure, then morality is ultimately relative, right? And you come down to a might makes right kind of ethical system. And that's a very dangerous kind of ethical system here. Our founding fathers understood, all right, that a democracy only works if the people are morally good and can govern themselves. And the only way they can do that is if we understand there's a universal moral law, a God who gave us a moral standard that transcends all of us, that we all abide by. Once we take God out of the picture, then what's that moral standard? Well, it's going to come down to might makes right. Who's going to win the battle and take the power? And you end up in tribal warfare. And that's what you're seeing now, okay? Disintegrating the fabric of our civilization. And eventually, your civilization is going to collapse. We have a great talk with Oz Guinness on that, who spoke here a few years ago. A great book he wrote, A Free People's Suicide, explaining without freedom's triangle, the universal moral law, that's not going to come about without faith and God. That's freedom's triangle. Without that, a democracy is bound to collapse. Pantheism, how do we determine right and wrong here? Well, it's kind of relative. It's in the gray. It's the law of karma. How do you know you did something right or something wrong? Well, if something bad happens to you or misfortune, then you probably didn't do something right here. But it's all in the gray. It's the law of karma. Finally, human destiny. What happens after death? Well, Christian theism teaches that we are eternal beings created in the image of God with an immaterial soul and spirit that will go on to conscious existence after the death of the physical body. And in fact, the physical body will one day be resurrected to its full and glorified state. Naturalism says that this is all there is. You live for a brief moment here in this great universe, and it all comes to an end. Everything ends in extinction and annihilation. Eventually, the universe is going to continue to expand. It's going to run out of energy. We reach a state of final entropy. Everything ends in extinction and annihilation. Pantheists say we're in an endless cycle of reincarnation. As long as we remain attached to this world, we're going to keep coming back, all right, and suffering, going through the pain and suffering again and again and again, until, right, we attain enlightenment and we are absorbed into the one. When Sigourney Weaver in Avatar died, she did not go to a place called heaven and exist continually as the person she was. She becomes a part of AWA. All right, she becomes a part of the one. In Star Wars, when the Jedi die, when people die, what happens? They don't exist in a place called heaven. They become one with the Force. They become absorbed into the Force. That's pantheism. That's how three major worldviews answer the five big questions of life. Now, why are worldviews important? Well, first, as we went over, they're the foundation of all belief systems. They shape our values and our behaviors. Second, the right worldview allows us to see and understand the world properly, to live as we should. And understanding worldviews enables us to live out our faith fully and consistently. Now, one of the great plagues of modern Christianity today is we've got a great disconnect here. Many believe, most Christians, I believe this for many, many years until I understood worldviews. Many believe Christianity only applies to my private life, okay, my personal walk with God. That's where Christianity applies. But when it comes to everything else in the public arena, economics, government, art, medicine, science, it doesn't apply. Christianity only applies for me to have a good personal walk with God and relationships with others.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.